With the Chicago Bulls having many players that are on expiring deals, $81 million worth of expiring deals, that is, one of the questions that are asked is that, will the Chicago Bulls see another minor roster reset between now and the beginning of next season? On today's episode, I want to talk about the players that could survive another roster reset that are currently on the Chicago Bulls. We'll take a look at that. Plus, we're going to look at why the Chicago Bulls should really value their second-round pick in this year's draft and continue our player grades, this time with Modest Bouzilis. We're going to get into all and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And the Chicago Bulls are set up perfectly to take advantage of a lot of expiring deals that they have on the roster, right? I had an episode earlier this week in which I talked about the $81 million in expiring contracts that the Chicago Bulls have. Now, why not all of those are going to be realistically moved? Or look at Io, look at Kobe as players that have a great chance of staying here, depending on how the Bulls see their future and contract negotiations going. But nonetheless, the Chicago Bulls have tons of expiring contracts. Now, what that allows you to do is it allows you to reset, right? Whether that is resetting by trading on the market, gaining assets back for those expiring deals, being the third team in other trades to help facilitate other trades and gain assets back there, or just is naturally letting those contracts expire and then taking a look at where your roster stands, right? So when you look at that, what are some of the players that could survive another roster reset by the Chicago Bulls, right? I'm going to list these players out for the various different reasons on why I see them sticking it out. But again, for some of these guys, it's just that they have the chance to. It's not necessarily me saying that they are guaranteed to survive another roster reset. Number one is Modest Bouzilis, right? The player who I'm going to do a player grade on today, 28-year-old lottery pick who's shown tremendous potential when it comes down to it, right? So I think when you look at that, and what he did as a starter, especially averaging 13 points, 4.5 rebounds, 1.9 assists, 1.1 steals on 47, 35, 81 shooting splits during that stretch. Like there's a lot that Modest Bouzilis has flashed right now. He has a lot that he needs to work on his game and prove it. But Modest is not the type of player that you move on from if you reset your roster. He's one of the players that, as of right now, if you're resetting your roster, you're trying to maximize what he can bring and continue to see how he can develop as a player under your roster. Now, is there a world in which maybe, like, I don't think so right now, but, you know, if the Bulls ever do want to make a move for a star, it could be. But, you know, we'll see it, right? But barring any type of injury or any type of completely unexpected move, I would say that it's pretty close to guaranteed that Modest Bouzilis is going to be a starter for the Chicago Bulls next year based on how his campaign went in 2024-25. He's going to have a great opportunity coming into next season. He's getting to work on his game. You know, I wish we had a player development coach that was still there in Peter Patton. But, you know that whole thing with Peter Patton, I think it comes down to, you know, his understudy, I guess, the guy that was second in command, is just taking over that player development department. And apparently he's done a lot of work there, too. So he already knows the players, things like that. So let's hope that that process continues for these guys as they're learning and developing and stuff like that. But Modest is one of the people who's set to benefit the most from what the Bulls have going on right now. You know, I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. Next up, Kobe White, right? Now, Kobe White has had a couple of rough weeks in the season, right? And I know a lot of people have looked at the way that the play-in tournament ended for him, and that have completely changed their mindset. That, not me, right? I've said that before. Yeah, he played bad in the play-in game. And make no mistake about it, like, he needs to be better than that, right? But Kobe's going to get an opportunity in this season to come into it as the go-to scoring option. Him, Josh Giddey, Modest, as of right now, those are the guys that you're looking at as being kind of the engines of your offense. Of course, you got other guys that could potentially, you know, be parts of that. We'll see what happens with Trey Jones. I'd love for him to come back, but, you know, we don't know what's going to be touch and go with that contract situation, right? But Kobe White, he was drafted by the Chicago Bulls. He grew here, right? He ended the season with his best season yet when it comes down to. You'd also look at him winning the Player of the Month award at 27.7 points per game through 15 games. It's not like it was one of those months where it was like eight games played. That's a nice chunk of games, right, that was played there. And so he's still 25 years old, right? He scored 20 or more points in 15 consecutive games from February 28th to March 29th. Right. Had a big scoring night, 44 points, in a win over Orlando as well. Like the thing is, and the question that a lot of people ask for Kobe is when the Bulls roster is a playoff team, a surefire playoff team, and hopefully a favorite to win the first round playoff series at the minimum, where is Kobe White in your pecking order at that point in time? Right. Now, I think Kobe, you know, again, barring any type of surprise or unexpected trade, is definitely going to be a starter for the Chicago Bulls team coming into next season. And that'll be the first time his role hasn't drastically changed from one year to another. I'm really excited to see what that offseason of work looks like for Kobe White. What do we get out of that? How he's developed in that time. Really excited about seeing all of that and how that falls out for Kobe White. But as it stands right now, and again, like I said, these are players that I think would survive it. Not saying it's they're guaranteed to, because I do think, depending on the level of roster reset that you want, Kobe could end up being moved in that depending on what the Bulls are doing. But as it stands right now, I definitely think Kobe White is part of that future with the Chicago Bulls. He would survive another roster reset. Next up, Josh Giddey. Now, we know that Josh Giddey is a restricted free agent. And I think you have to throw out the what-if scenario there. Now, of course, if he leaves in restricted free agency, that changes a lot of things, right? But, you know, with the way that he performed this year, especially on the back half of the season, being only 22 years old, you know, averaging almost a triple-double, right, to end the season over the last 20 games or so. Josh Giddey's shown a lot here for the Bulls. Now, one of the legitimate questions and fair questions that some Bulls fans are asking is, how much can he do this next year, right? How much can he do that? And that's the biggest question. But I think much like Kobe, he's coming into a situation where his role isn't going to change, coaching isn't going to change. So, you know, that's a big part of that as well. And so you look at the 21.2 points, 10.7 rebounds, 9.3 assists in 19 games after the All-Star break. He also shot 45% from three during that stretch as well. You know, that's a really good stretch for him. He shot 37.8% from deep on this season, which is the best of his career, right? And so the Bulls would be remiss to not want to see if this can continue. Now, he has some major flaws, right? We're in no way going to make it seem like Josh Giddey is some perfect player. He's not. None of these players are. Modest is definitely not, right? You know, we'll talk about more about Modest when we get into his player grade. Kobe's definitely not. Like, these guys have some serious limitations, and that's why the doubt around how good can the Chicago Bulls be with them with as their number one and number two as of right now, and those are legitimate, right? But considering Josh Giddey's age, considering his work ethic, right, considering, as my alarm goes off, considering all those things, you know, I think that it's a strong case for Josh Giddey to continue to grow and develop and see what he is, right? And I know some people use some things to kind of knock him. I'm more looking at his positives, but also, I mean, you do have to factor in the player's negatives as well. How much of those negatives will stop you from going as far as you want to go, and how many of those negatives can you help kind of balance out with roster balance? And that's a big question here for Josh and for really anybody on the court as well. Next up, Ayo Dosunmu. I know that this has been more controversial. You got some Bulls fans that even think, let's trade Ayo so we can keep Trey Jones. And again, I'm not with that, right? I'm not somebody who, like, some people have really big tunnel vision, right? And they look at just the result, don't look at necessarily the reasons or things like that. Ayo's a player whose role, where he finished off at the end of the 23-24 season, drastically changed coming into the 24-25 season. And yeah, it was slower when it came down to it as he was going. But when you look at it, the way that he was playing ball, especially offensively before he went down with a shoulder injury, he was really starting to get it together. The defense was starting to come back around, which was a little bit of a concern that fell off a little bit at the start of the season, right? But you look at what he was doing in points per game, right? He was averaging, a career high, 12.3 points per game, which would, if he would have finished the season with that, 3.5 rebounds per game, 4.5 assists per game. And that was really before, you know, that's what we had a lot of congestion all in there, right? What he does creatively down the stretch. But I also think as of right now, when you look at the Bulls roster, we have three defensive players Io DeSumo being one of them. Patrick Williams being another one of those, but his defense took a huge step back last season. Lonzo Ball's another one, but he's not really consistent at all, right? Now, Trey Jones played solid defense in his time, but he wouldn't be known as a defensive player. I think all those things, Io's two-way ability, especially with this team, that the current construction could be really big for this team, right? And so I think also hearing at the trade deadline that there were teams that were interested in Io, but basically you heard from AK and Eversley that they were basically turning those teams down. They weren't even really entertaining those trade calls for Io DeSumo. I think Io's going to be around here for a while, and we'll see what happens. Next player up is Julian Phillips. I know this isn't going to be necessarily as popular, right? But Julian is still 21 years old. He still has two more years left on his rookie-scale contract, and that's really the biggest reason here. Make no mistake about it. Julian's season was up and down. He had some moments where he really looked like, Billy Donovan was even going to him first coming off the bench for a little while. He's shown some flashes of some really good defensive ability, things like that, right? His shot started looking better at times, but it's still a lot raw with Julian, right? And that's the reason, like, where the Bulls are right now, in my opinion, is that you don't want to let go of young players that still can develop. It's 2 years into Julian Phillips' career. If we were at year four and he had the season that he did, my view would probably be completely different. But we're in year two, right? And because of that, I don't think right now is where you move off of Julian unless you're including him in some deal, right? A larger deal where a team wants a young asset back and you're either getting like a high pick or something like that back, maybe. But Julian's 6'8", an over 7-foot wingspan. He's the prototypical 3-and-D type prospect on the Chicago Bulls roster, which again, you need defenders, right? So I do think that he's worth keeping around for right now because of the tools that are possibly in the shed for Julian. But I will be clear here. If he's going to have a role on the team, he has to earn it with his performance, with the way that he plays, with the way that he goes in and works, and with the effort that he gives out there on the court, right? And the leeway you get for your performance drops each and every year, right? Like, you're not going to get the same excuses that you got in year one and year two. There's going to become even less from year two to year three. And Julian's going to have to start showing something, right? Yes, he's 21 years old. Yes, he hasn't played a whole hell of a lot of minutes, only 14.2 minutes. But I look at things as well, like, what have you earned, right? And I think that's the thing. Julian got to come in here in training camp next year and make that third-year leap to the – and I'm not saying leap into star, right? But a leap to show, no, you need to play me. I help this team give the best chance to win in some cases with my two-way ability. And Julian absolutely has to show that, right? But that's it. That's the list, right? And I know some people are going to say things, but Hayes, we can't lose Kevin Huerter. Hayes, we can't lose Zach Collins. Hayes, but what about Lonzo Ball? Listen, those are really solid players. And I'm not saying that there can't be a world in which they stay with the Chicago Bulls. What I'm saying is they don't have a guaranteed spot. Depending on the moves that you can make as expiring contracts, you owe it to yourself and your franchise to look at what are you getting offered back for those guys. Hey, Kevin Huerter as a shooter, to be able to space the floor, a vet, could definitely help this Bulls team, but he can also help other teams. And what those other teams are willing to pay is the question there. And that can be said about anybody, but that's why those players aren't on my list, because if we go through another roster, a mini reset for this roster where we're going younger, because let's say we draft Derek Queen or whoever else, name your center, right? And the Bulls then look and say, all right, bet. What if we get a really good shooter in the second round and they want to open up some minutes for those guys? What with Io DeSumo coming back and his growth? What if they need to do a lot of those things? So, listen, the Bulls should be open and listening to everything. I want to be clear here. But if you go through another reset where you're now trying to configure this roster better around what you have, right? Those are the players that I see sticking around. Yeah, I didn't mention Dalen Terry because, again, I just said it about Julian. Dalen's heading into year four. He's shown himself to be able to be an NBA player, and I would love for him to develop here, but I can't say for certain that that's going to be the case and he should stay. Same with Jalen Smith. Had a solid season when he played, but again, you never know. What are other teams going to offer you, right? That could be a trade chip. So that's where I sit on it. You guys can let me know how you feel and what you think down below. But with that said, let's get into the next thing, right? The Bulls have a second-round pick in this draft, and while we're making a lot about the first-round pick, number 12th overall, as it stands right now before the lottery, and we should, right? But when you really look at it, the Bulls have had some really big success in the second round. Julian Phillips, 35th overall pick. I would say, as of right now, I kind of want to see Julian more than our fourth overall pick in Patrick Williams, but he still has a lot left to show, right? One of the best second round pick values in the league is Io DeSumo, right? You look at what Io DeSumo, he was the 38th overall pick by the Chicago Bulls as well. He leads all second rounders since 2020 in minutes played and points scored, right? You look at what he did his rookie year, playing 77 games, right? Starting 40 in his rookie year. Averaged 10 points, 2.9 rebounds, and 3.3 assists for his career, right? I'm not here to say that it's world-beating or anything like that, but when you find value in the second round, that helps your draft look so much better. That's what the Bulls have an opportunity to do here, right? Especially with the depth in this draft. I know some people like Eco Bean say that this draft isn't deep. I think those are people that are more so just looking at the stat sheet, which can be kind of misleading in some cases in college, depending on how things shake out. But let's look at some of the players that have right now in some of these mocks are slated to go in the second round. Danny Wolf. Hell, if the Bulls had picked in the 20s, I wouldn't mind them picking Danny Wolf there. You can get Danny Wolf in the second round. That, again, I don't know what he's going to turn into, but that helps. Johnny Brome, right? Another guy that some people say that the Bulls, you know, he has his fans here with the Chicago Bulls. But again, 6'10", 240 pounds. You can get that depth in the second round. I'm not mad at it at all. Micah Perry, another guy out of Georgetown. 6'7", 215 pounds, a senior, much like Io DeSumo was. Tremendous value in the second round of what he has the ability to be as a two-way player. The 6'7", show really big improvement in that. He's athletic. He's versatile defensively. All those type of things. He stepped up as a shooter. Some things that the Bulls could look at. 40% from three last year. I'm just saying, right? These are some guys that you can get in the second round of this draft. Ben Seraph, right? Another guy that I think could be really good value in the second round. Position is a question there. But when you find value in the second round of a draft, it just helps you, instead of having to pay the vet minimum, which could still be upwards of $7, $8 million, if you could fill that spot with a second-round pick that even in their first contract extension is probably going to get less than the vet minimum, you do that, right? That's where you want to try to find value at. So the Bulls right now and where they're picking in the second round, yeah, it's 45, right? That's 15 picks into the second round of the draft, right? So you have your questions there on, you know, is that value still going to be there? But don't overlook the value in the second round, especially if you're scouting really well, right? That's where you can find something. There's going to be a player that falls here. The question is, does that player fall low enough for the Bulls to get them? And are the Bulls scouting department on top of it enough to be able to get that, right? So, listen, the 12th pick is going to be important. Of course, we're all hoping that it goes higher in the lottery. Let's hope that it does. But the value that could be there in the second round could be value that could pay off hugely for this Bulls team. And let's hope that they can get it done. But let me know what you guys think on that down below. Let's continue our player grades next, right? Modest Bouzelis. His season, man. The season that Modest had was a season of basically proof of concept is the way that I look at it, right? Modest came into the season initially, you know, not getting a lot of minutes. A lot of Bulls fans looked at it and said, hey, what's going on with this young player that we just drafted? Number 11th overall. Why are we not playing this kid, right? And, you know, Billy Donovan, Modest has said it himself. Billy Donovan had a plan and it worked out, right? He started off in October 5.6 minutes per game, right? Not very much at all. Then it went up to 12.9 points per game, where he averaged 12.9 minutes per game, where he averaged 5 points, shot the ball 39% from the field, 35% from three. Month of December, 16 minutes per game, went up to 6.6 points per game and 36% shooting both from the field and from three. In January, 14 minutes a game played, 5.7 points on 47% shooting from the field, 39% shooting from three. Then you get to the month of February, and that's where it all started coming together for our boy Modest Bouzelis. Now, prior to that, he had shown flashes. We'd seen the defense. We'd seen the shot blocking, right? We'd seen some of the scoring ability, especially in transition. The month of February, his first full month starting, basically, 12.8 points on 50% shooting, 31% shooting from three, 3.4 rebounds, 1.9 assists, right under a block per game as well. And that was when people started realizing, oh no, we may have us one. The month of March, 14 points per game, basically 13.7, on 10.9 shots per game, 46% from the field, 35% shooting from three. That's where he averaged 1.1 blocks per game to be exact, almost 5 rebounds. And then the month of April, 13 points per game, 5 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 1.1 steals, 1.4 blocks, 54% shooting from the field, 50% shooting from three. Modest Pouzilis, what is a proof of why you invest and even why you don't, why you add more as your rookie earns more, right? And then with the trade, that opened up some things. Patrick Williams, bad play on both sides of the ball, opened up some opportunity. But Modest Pouzilis made the most of that. And he continued to make the most of that as the season went on. And that's where it became important. That's where it became big. That's where the prospect of Modest Pouzilis and what he can turn into really started solidifying itself. Now, make no mistake, he has to be a more consistent shooter. He has to be a better on-ball defender. I've seen some people say, like, Modest is good defensively. He's not good defensively at all yet. There's no metric for that. Blocks don't make you good at on-ball or off-ball defense. It just means you're a solid rebound, weak side defender, and you have nice use of your hops, right? But Modest has a lot that he needs to grow from. But I would say this, and the thing that I say coming into this year is, how effective can Modest Pouzilis be in how many areas of the game until he really learns to shoot consistently? And that's what we started to see this year. Towards the end of the year, him taking players off dribble, doing more point forward type things. Those are all things that we saw from Modest Pouzilis that started to be like, okay, this is where the path that could go. He has to become a better defender. He has to become a better shooter. He has to start getting a mid-range game going. Everything for Modest Pouzilis right now is at the three-point line and at the rim. Now, I would say with his ability to dribble, he can facsimilate a mid-range game by his ability to take players off the step to where they still have to guard him at all three levels. But if he can get a step back or a fadeaway going in that mid-range, it's going to open up so much for Modest Pouzilis, right? And that's where you want to see him at, right? Those are the areas that you want to see him at as far as with his shooting. Like, when you look at Modest Pouzilis as well, last year, 80% of his shots were assisted. 80% of his shots were assisted. And I think he does have more creation ability than that. That's, I think, is Billy Donovan trusting him. You want to see that a little bit more. His shots came at an average of 13.7 feet as well. So you're looking at that when it comes down to it. Above the break threes, corner threes accounted for almost 50% of his offense. We need a little bit more than that, right? Now, he hit that at a pretty decent clip, right? It is what it is there. But you just start seeing, when you break down the numbers deeper than the box score, you start seeing the areas that he can work on, right? But as a rookie, 20 years old, that went to the G League Ignite, that really did nothing for his development because that whole process was ran like shit. Modest Pouzilis is going to have a really big opportunity to actually work on and round out his game. I said it before. I said it earlier when I started this process. He was going to be the only player that got an A. And the reason why that is because of the youth, because of Billy Donovan's inconsistency with his role, the fact that he earned a spot, the fact that once he did get it, it would have been easy. Keep in mind, when Modest first started getting starts here on this team, Billy Donovan said that there was a plan to still get Patrick Williams back into the starting lineup. But Modest Pouzilis, in the way that he played, basically made that null and void. Fuck your plan. I'm your starter. That's what he did, right? Now, it doesn't mean that he was perfect in that, and it does say something about the person that was behind him as well. But Modest Pouzilis has tremendous potential, and we got to see a little bit of all of that over the course of the season. The question is, how long is it going to be before he can bring that all together? And that's the question there. But Modest Pouzilis gets a solid A for me, man. As a rookie under a Billy Donovan coach team, which is back and forth on trusting rookies, you really have to earn that when Billy Donovan's your coach. And Modest Pouzilis did that. So that's my thought process. You guys can let me know your grades down below. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. If you send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. That's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.